week, and I'm thankful for these young people that have sung. Gracie, you going to sing one? She can sing. She just won't. But I'm going to have to work on you on that. You don't sing alone? Well, we'll work on that. Amen. But it's good to be in God's house tonight and looking forward to what God has for us one more time. Amen. As he brings this series of meetings to a conclusion tonight. But I hope what has been preached here doesn't stop here and doesn't die here tonight. Amen. I hope it invigorates you as the individual. You know, revival was for the individual. I don't know about you, but I needed what we had here this week. Amen. I have got something out of every service that has helped me. Amen. And if you didn't, it's because you wasn't paying attention. Amen. And Brother Irvin is, like I said, he didn't know anybody here, didn't know anything about what's, you know, in anybody's lives or about our church or anything. And I hope they go away and say, wow, that was a great church. We'd like to go back again. Amen. And, you know, we tried to treat them every way that we knew how to be good to them and love on them and just let them know that we really appreciate them. Yeah. And we really do, really do. And, you know, we was yesterday, we went to eat at the Bird in Hand family restaurant, and the waitress come up and she looked at us and said, oh, where y'all been? We got talking to her. I said, well, you know, she kind of was asking. She's real friendly, asking where we was from and stuff. And I said, well, these folks, they're from Chicago. I said, have you ever heard of Unchained? Oh, yeah. Amen. She said, my mom used to listen to it as a kid all the time. She said, my dad was lost. My mom went to church. And she would listen to Unshackled because it gave her hope. That one day dad was going to get saved. Amen. Amen. That was her words, wasn't it? That was her testimony. It gave her hope. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, if you want to hear Brother Irvin's story, just ask him for the number and you can go to the Unshackled. They got a website now. Amen. Go to the website and you can hear his particular story, his testimony. And I got to hear him give his testimony to us out there when we visited him. And it's amazing what God does. Amen. Amen. And it's amazing where God does it. Amen. And it's amazing how God does it. Amen. You know, you I don't know. They're from the city now. They're going to take us the wrong way. And, you know, so, you know, when I think of the cities, I just think, I don't think of anything good. Amen. Yeah, I just, you know, well, in Baltimore, there's nothing in Baltimore that I would risk taking my family there for. Amen. It's not worth dying to go see a show. It's not worth dying to go eat. It's not worth dying. And in Baltimore, you don't know. Now, I might die here. But, you know, there's no need to put in temptation out there. There's no need to go in there. Amen. You know, Brother Irvin says, man, y'all need to come and look at Chicago. You know, I drove by Chicago, drove around Chicago. The closest I got in Chicago was when Brother Eddie Hefner took us down in town. You know, and I said, yeah, nice. We got back out towards La Porte. They started getting a little more countrified. Then I let down, you know, I let them, and I eased up, you know. But I'm just, Deb says we're country mice, you know. She says, I'm a country mouse, not a city mouse, you know. And we're just country folks, that's the way we are. But God saves people in the cities. He saves people in the country. He saves people in the prisons. He saves people in foreign countries. I'm glad we serve such an amazing God. Amen. And I'm glad he allows our paths to cross. Even though I had to go to the city to meet him. Amen. God bless my heart. From the first few moments we was there, Brother Irvin got to greeting us and just sharing about things about the Pacific Garden Mission and started telling us his testimony, how he got saved there at the mission, and pretty soon he wasn't talking, he was a preaching. Amen. Amen. You know? And I said, man, I like this guy. Yesterday we went to see The Miracle of Christmas, and man, there was a few scenes and a few times during that service, him and Sister Flossie just got happy, and they didn't care who around them knew that they were wanting to worship God.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, That's the kind of people I like to be around. People that aren't ashamed of Jesus. Amen. And wherever they go, they're talking to people about the Lord. Amen. They'll get to the Lord somehow, some way in that conversation. Amen. It's good to be back here one more night. Sad to say it's the last night, but they got to go home. They got to be back in Chicago for Saturday and Sunday's things that's going on. So you listen, and listen good. Be obedient to the Spirit of God. The altar is always open. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, he'll save your soul. If you're here tonight and you're backslidden, he'll restore your soul. Amen. If you're here and you're burdened down and you're overloaded, he'll lift your soul. Amen. The Lord can do whatever you need. But you just got to let him come and do it. Brother Irvin, you come.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So good to see you again. And I'm going to miss you. I've enjoyed you immensely. I'm going to ask my wife to come up for just a minute. And my wife loves to talk, but I'm going to shut her up. Amen. I'm going to just shut her right up. And but just wanted to give her just a minute just to say thank you to the ladies and to the church.
There are no words. Thank you is just not sufficient for the gratitude that I have that God would send me to be with you. I shared with the ladies and I said, and let me say again, prior to our coming, the Lord would wake me up at night and I would pray for the people that I had not seen. But I knew that the Lord was sending me to be with you. And I wanted to come away from the visit with you, realizing that we will spend all of eternity together. Amen. Understanding that every moment of our life is sovereign. God has a sovereign plan for every moment. And the Bible is like a body scan. It scans what's wrong with us, and it's the only thing that can tell us how to do it. It's the only thing that can make it right.
Amen.
And so I thank the Lord for the privilege to come and see your beautiful faces and touch you. I love you so deeply. I thank the Lord for his love and that he gives us the opportunity to love those for whom Jesus died, and he died for everyone.
Amen.
And so I leave with saying to you, as I've said to some, many says, I'm going to miss you. And I said to them, wherever I am, those when I retired at the mission and the places that we went, and I said it here, if you want to be with me, open up your Bible. You will find me there. If you don't want to be with me, then if you don't open it, then what you said is not true. But I want you to open up the scripture and learn of him.
Amen.
So that we can be together. Until we are together.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, hon. Thank you so much for all of the many things. Last night, we were given just a beautiful bag of pictures that were taken. We had the privilege to see the tabernacle. Very meaningful. Very, very meaningful. We had the opportunity to see the Christmas play and just to see the portrayal of Mary and Joseph, and Jesus being born in a stable. It was just surreal. And for those of us who know this to be true, it was very difficult for me to contain myself. I believe there'll be noise in heaven.
Amen.
God has never called me to pastor a church, but if he ever does, I'll name it the First Baptist Church of America. I don't think there's another Baptist church in America, but mine will be Baptist. A Baptist is a Baptist who make as much noise as a Pentecostal. And that would be me. I don't see anything wrong with running aisles. I tell you, our church is predominantly white, and we sing the songs, and we got a wonderful song leader and so forth, and we sing the hymns, sometimes so sweet, and there's such good preaching until it's just hard for me not to just run the entire church. Amen. Just screaming and yelling. And maybe one of these days before I die, I'll just do it and just get everybody all upset. Amen. But I just thank you so much for your hospitality. I've heard so much about Lancaster County, and I've had the opportunity. The pastor has driven us all around to Lancaster County, and I'm just amazed at God. I'm just amazed at God and the different people groups that he's planted here and there. And I've had opportunities in my life to see third world and so forth. And just to know that Jesus Christ died for every people group.
Amen.
Everywhere. Amen. Today I took opportunity to witness to the lady who cleaned up our motel room. And she has a daughter, a 26-year-old daughter who's on heroin. And she's raising her daughter's little girl who's now 6 years old. She's had her since she was just 3 or 4 months old. And if she hadn't taken the daughter, the state would have had her. And I had the opportunity to pray with this dear one. And I've made a habit of leaving her a little tip in the room and so forth. And today I had the opportunity, and I left a track with it the other day, and I had the opportunity to tell her why I do such things. I've tried to share with you this week the importance of reading the Word of God, and reading it every day and every day and every day and every day. And I know that there's someone here who's not reading it every day. I want you to change that. I want you to read it every day. You're missing out on so much. And it's not because you don't understand it. I don't understand it all either, but that's no excuse not to read it. Read it anyway. God is supernatural, amen. I've got a Toyota Highlander out there I bought last year, and it's loaded, they tell me. It's got everything in it but the kitchen sink. And it still scares me. I drive along the highway, and I hear a noise. It goes, bloom. I look down, and it's asking me with a little display of a cup of coffee if I want to take a break, amen. And I said, well, maybe not right now, amen. Maybe sometimes later on. Bible reading. And I'm going to, like last night, I'm going to preach a couple of messages. How many of you went home and worked on the 66 books of the Bible? Anybody raise your hand? Amen. Couple of hands. How many of you know them from memory? Raise your hand. Well, before we preach tonight, I'm going to have you turn to them, and we're going to go through them. But I want you to know them. I want you to know them. Your pastor is going to begin talking about Bible reading again. And I don't want you to get upset with him. If you want to get upset with anybody, get upset with me. Amen. You just get upset with me. And by the way, that group that sang, Grandma and the kids and all, I might come back up here and take you all on the road with me. Amen. The pastor was talking about having them sing here more and more. We're going to give them all the practice they need. Amen. We might even take Sister Ruby with us. Amen. She'll be like our mascot, amen. But we're going to preach a couple of messages. But the first thing I want you to do is turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 and 13. And these are memory verses. And I want you to memorize these verses. And this is about the powerful word of God. I want you to notice what the Bible says here about the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and beginning in verse number 12. You pray for me tonight. I'm a little hoarse. I've preached hard this week. Amen. I've preached hard. And praise God for it. And then I have a long drive in the morning. We're taking off 4 a.m. Tomorrow night this time, I plan to be on my own recliner. Amen. I've not been on a recliner now in days. And I am a glutton for a recliner. But the Bible says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. I want you to notice this, of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And this is personal. This is what God is saying to you. Notice what he says in verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I would even counsel you to memorize the rest of the chapter. This is powerful, 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 powerful scripture about the word of God. You need to read it every day. Every day. Read it systematically. Read it systematically. Read the whole New Testament. Turn around and read it again. Read through the whole Bible. And after you do your regular Bible reading, read a proverb every day. There's a proverb for every day of the month. Read a chapter out of the Proverbs every day. Do it religiously. Do it faithfully. Do it when you don't feel like it. Do it when you don't want to. Do it when you're sick. Amen. Do it. Just do it. Old Nike commercial said, just do it. Amen. Just do it. Read the Bible and pray. I've also tried to emphasize something else here this week, and that's gluttony. I want you to work on that. All of us need to work on gluttony. We need to work on that. It's a serious problem. The church is fat, okay? I'm just being honest with you. You say, well, Pastor, why are you talking about such a thing? Because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm trying to help you. And if you're like me, every time I go in the doctor's office, the first thing they want me to do is get up on the scales. And I don't particularly like the scales. Amen. We took a girl out with us Sunday. I forgot her name. She's a cute girl. But she ordered 3 peas, 2 grains of corn, and asked for a doggy bag. Amen. Somebody's little granddaughter. Cute. It's just cutest thing ever. Didn't eat nothing. Amen. I mean nothing. And sat there and laughed at the rest of us. She wanted us to think that she was just laughing, but I know she was laughing at us because we were throwing down. Amen. But turn to Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke 21:34. Here's a powerful verse of scripture on gluttony. I call it glutoni. Amen. And by the way, I you don't have to go on a diet. Some people are trying to diet. The rest of us are dying to try it. You don't have to go on a diet, but you need to cut down and need to be as active as you can. Amen. Just cut down some, amen, and then try to be as active as you can. Remember last night we preached about circumspect. We preached about heed. Here's another heed. The Bible says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. That's overeating and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware. Unaware. Powerful, powerful, powerful verse of scripture in the Bible. And if you're all already mad with me, then that's good. Amen. If you're not mad at me, then I can't be doing my job. I'm the preacher that a lot of folks love to hate. Amen. It's all right. They love to hate Pastor McNeil, because I will tell you in a minute to put that donut down. Amen. Now, yo, are you ready to quote the 66 books of the Bible? Go ahead and open up to the index, wherever they are in your Bible, if you don't know them, and let's say them together. Listen, and then you're going to have to use it or you'll lose it. You'll have to use it or you'll lose it. But you'll be proud of yourself. You'll be real proud of yourself for knowing the 66 books of the Bible. Amen? Amen. All right. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. We'll say them kind of slow together. Let's go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and the Revelation. Good, good, good. Amen. That's good stuff. How many books are, somebody stand and tell me, how many books are in the Old Testament? Anyone? In the Old Testament? 39. How many in the New? 27. It's important for you to know that. Anybody know the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Where's it found? John 11:35. That's good stuff. Amen. Well, we'll stop there on our quizzing for tonight, but I want you to get in the Word of God. I want you to get in the Word of God. I want you to get in the Word of God. And you can memorize it. In fact, when you start going through it, and as Pastor said a minute ago, when these verses and when these truths start leap, things that you've heard or things that maybe you've never heard, it's going to leap out at you and it's going to excite you to no end. And as Pastor said, they were all Sodomites. God killed the men and the women in Sodom for going after strange flesh. That's a powerful truth. Amen. Go ahead and turn with me tonight to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Dr. Luke was the only Gentile writer of the four Gospels. And he was a doctor. And because he was a doctor, he pointed out things that would be of particular interest to a doctor. And so he began his book with a lengthy explanation of the birth of John the Baptist, which we saw portrayed yesterday, and the birth of Jesus Christ. And Dr. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. Amen? He also became a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And so Dr. Luke's gospel is a very, very interesting gospel. And I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. We've talked a lot about faith this week. Sunday morning, we began talking about saving faith. And we talked about the faith that it takes to prevent sin from controlling the way you live. Sin is not your friend. We talked about the faith that is required in living very, very carefully every day. We talked about biblical faith. And tonight, once again, we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith, faith in the Word of God. Where is your faith? Is it in the Word of God? Is it in the Word of God? Listen, let me tell you something. If it's not, let me tell you, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. It's just simply sinking sand. And let me tell you something. You can underline that in red, and you can mark it down in black, and you can take that to the bank. And by the way, you don't have to be a Philadelphia lawyer. You don't have to be tall and good-looking like Pastor over here or any such thing. Amen? But if you know the Word of God, if you will stand firmly on the Word of God, God is able to do anything but fail. You will receive divine, supernatural intervention. In fact, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've known people who had over $1 million that was jealous of me. And they was jealous of me and often asked me, what are you smiling about? And I tell them, I'm sorry, and keep on smiling. Amen? I'm smiling because I got something to smile about. Amen? I've got something to smile about. Amen? I got Jesus down in my soul. And the Bible says, in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse number 22. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that he, that's Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now, how many of you have a red letter edition of the Bible? Raise your hand. All right. Well, it's going to be important for you to notice that between verses 22 and verses 25, there's only a small amount of red writing. That's important. So you might just want to take note of that. Okay? Let us go over to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the powerful word of God. We thank you, Father, for your power over all nature. We thank you, Lord. Lord, that not only did you die for us, but that's not where the story ends, because 3 days later you rose again. Up from the grave you arose. What a mighty triumph over your foes. Lord, we pray you'd speak to our hearts now in these next few minutes. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message tonight is Your Faith Will Be Tested, or Ordinary Days. Your Faith Will Be Tested, or Ordinary Days is the title of my message. And my text verse is verse number 25a and b. Notice this, he says, where is your faith? Too often our faith is in our circumstances. Too often our faith is just in faith. Too often our faith is in just some kind of hoping that everything will work out okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you know the scriptures and if you know God, you might as well know that everything is not going to always work out okay. Disappointment, disagreement, disillusionment, and so forth, and depression and so forth is all a real part of life. And I just want you to know tonight, if you experience a little bit of depression or whatever, you don't need a pill. You don't need a pill just because you experience some, what you need is prayer. And you need to get out and you need to thank God for allowing you to be tested that way. And ask him to help you. Because he wants to do that. Amen? He wants to do that. And so we need to be careful that our faith is not in our circumstance. Not everyone can be famous, but anyone can be faithful. Amen? Not everyone. Amen. In fact, our faith not only will be tested, our faith is being tested. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk to you about that tonight. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways would acknowledge him. He promised to direct our path. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. If you believe that God will test you, raise your hand. I want you to know God is testing you. I want you to know God is testing you every day, every day, every day in common, ordinary ways. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're born again, I want you to know everything you do is a test. Every word you say is a test. You know, many people think that they would do well in the emergency rooms of life. Well, let me tell you something, my friend. If you're not doing well in the everyday things of life, you're going to panic in the emergency room. If you notice, the emergency response teams are what we're now calling first responders, which I think is an appropriate name. They get a lot of practice. They get a lot of practice. Amen. They do a lot of dry runs. The fire department, the police departments, they do a lot of assimilations. Those people who go into hostage crisis, those people on 911 were seen going up the stairs in those buildings because that's what they do. They do it all the time. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, if you're not doing well in the everyday things of life, you can forget the emergency rooms of life because you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to make it. But you need practice. Practice makes perfect. Amen. That's what Pastor was telling this good-looking crowd up here tonight. Amen. They got to sing at every service. And sometimes even come over here on Monday and Tuesday and sing. Amen. 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 Gather out here by the utility building. Amen. And sing. Ron Hamilton sung a song called Rejoice in the Lord. I should have had my wife to sing that for me. She sings it so beautifully. But the words of it is, God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his children or molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In trials, he giveth a song. Fanny Crosby, who wrote some of the finest hymns that the Christian has ever known, was blind as a bat because well-meaning parents put the wrong medication in her eyes. But she sang for God until she died. And I'll tell you something. We could go on and on and on and on about God, how God used people. There's a woman and a son. In fact, all you have to do is Google them. The woman was born with no arms, and she has a son that was born without arms. And it will amaze you. Just Google it on your smartphone to see what they can do. God, amen, is so awesome. Ron Hamilton's song said, I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day, and peace came and fears fled away. He said, now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges with love. My Father knows best, so I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. So rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of his path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And tonight, I want to show you four things from this passage that I trust that will truly help you if you would just but practice them. First of all, tonight, I want to show you that your faith will be tested on ordinary days. It's all right here. I want to show you that your faith will be tested in ordinary ways on ordinary days. And thirdly, I want to show you the storm is coming on an ordinary day. And fourthly, I want to show you that your faith should show up. It should show up. So first of all, tonight, look with me at Luke chapter 8, and we'll begin to go through
our message tonight. Number one, your faith will be or is being tested on ordinary days. Notice Luke chapter 8 and verse number 22a. The Bible says it came to pass on a certain day. I want you to notice that this was not a feast day. Okay? This day has no particular name. Probably kind of like a Tuesday. Amen? It's kind of like, it's not hump day. It's not the midweek. It's not Friday. It's not Sunday. It's not the Sabbath day. It's just a common, ordinary day. It's not like a hot fudge Sunday, like some people I know like hot fudge Sundays, amen? It's just a common, ordinary day. The Bible says it came to pass on a certain day. Most of the days of our lives are common, ordinary days until something extraordinary happens. Amen. And these are the testing days. On these ordinary days, my friend, you need to be reading your Bible every day. Amen. You need to be reading your Bible every day. You need to be reading the Bible every day. Need to be reading the Bible every day. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Let me tell you something. It will excite you. It will change you. It will change your philosophy. It will change your outlook. Maybe you're here tonight and you're accustomed to eating up politicians. You need to quit eating up the politicians. God ordained three institutions in society. That's the home, the church, and the government. And the government has almost always been largely unsaved people. You just look, take a look at some of the governments of the world. God has not made a mistake. The problem in the United States of America today is not Donald A. Trump. In fact, you know, I'm getting a little sick of folks giving him such a bad rap. I don't believe he could be there if God didn't allow it. And the Bible tells us we need to pray for him. You say, well, where do you find that? In 1 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. In 1 Timothy 2, God says that we ought to pray for him. Listen, these are the days that you and I are to practice being faithful to Almighty God. The Bible tells us in Psalms 118 and verse number 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. What's that? Let us rejoice and do what? Be glad in it. He's talking about every day. Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of every path that I take. Let me tell you, 9-1-1 was done on an ordinary day. How many of you remember 9-1-1? I remember it like it was yesterday. I was walking through the front lobby of Pacific Art Mission, and there was an intercom system, and we played Moody Radio, and I could hear the announcement on the radio saying that there were planes flying into the Empire State Building or whatever it was, and I couldn't believe it. So I ran upstairs to my office. I had a little black and white TV, and I turned it on, and sure enough, there it was. I'll never forget it. It happened on a common ordinary day. It was the last thing that most Americans could have ever imagined. By the way, God is not done doing some extraordinary things on ordinary days. He's done extraordinary things in your life. We have a missionary in South America, and his son was pronounced with cancer. He was about to die. Well, just before the surgery, they found he didn't have any. And they have the x-rays with the large tumors, cancerous tumors, and they got the x-rays where it's all gone. Amen. He's got 7 kids. And let me tell you something, his parents and so we were in an uproar. I mean, we were really affected by the announcement that this young man was going to die and leave that wife and those 7 kids. God didn't have to do it that way. When Charles Wesco was shot in the head in Cameroon, Africa, and left his wife and 9 children who had to turn around and come right back to the States. And by the way, I'm not sure how she's doing. Last I heard, she's sick. She's got some tumors. You say, well, why would God do that? Well, because he's God. God does what he wants. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse number 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and he should recompense again? For of him and to him and through him are all things. I believe the rapture will occur on a common, ordinary day. Amen. Storms. Amen. Storms turn ordinary days into memorials. Amen. December 7th. Amen. And on and on. I mean, if you go through the calendar, if you know anything about history, you'll notice day after day after day that started out as a common, ordinary day until something out of the ordinary happened. Are you getting ready? Secondly, your faith will be tested in ordinary ways. Notice Luke 8, verse 22, B. Not only did it come about on a certain day, notice that Jesus went into a ship with his disciples. Amen? He went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. A ship was as ordinary to these men as cars and so forth are to you and I. It was common. It was ordinary for these men to ride in a ship. It is ordinary for you and I to ride in automobiles or to take buses or drive skid steers or whatever. These are common, ordinary, everyday occurrences. And God is testing you right there. I believe that one of the problems in the church is that we're operating too much and thinking somehow that God is not really concerned about that part of your life. That is the main part of it. That's where you spend most of your time at home and at work and so forth. If it's common, if it's ordinary, I want you to know that those are the testing grounds that God uses. Amen. God uses these ordinary things as testing grounds for our faith. His disciples, amen, our everyday companions, families, friends, co-workers, neighbors. This is where our faith is really tested. How well are you doing? How well are you doing? That's why you need to read the Bible every day. You need to read the Bible every day. You need to pray every day. Listen, before you go out every day, you need to ask God to go ahead of you. God, help me. Amen. Help me to be salt. God, help me to be light. God, help me not to be mean-spirited. God, help me to offer somebody a gospel tract. God, help me maybe to just do something kind for somebody today. God, please go ahead of me. Help me to be careful in this automobile. Amen. Help me to be careful with the things that you've entrusted to me. Because you never know, my friend, what could happen before you return home again. If it's common, if it's ordinary. Listen, we know that God chose these disciples and God chose the people in your life. Did he choose the disciples? Was there a Judas in the bunch? Judas was in the bunch. And I believe Judas was good looking. But Judas was the treasurer. And he also was a thief. And I believe that everybody in the group knew about it. Certainly the Lord knew. God has chosen all those people in your life. He has not made a mistake. No matter who. No matter who they are. Listen, God uses this to make us what he wants us to be. The lake, the Sea of Galilee, it was called the Lake of Gennesaret, but it's the Sea of Galilee. It was an ordinary place. Listen, if it's ordinary for you to spend time on a farm, if it's ordinary for you to spend time at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, if it's ordinary for you to spend time at home, around your family, at work, in school, whatever's common, whatever's ordinary, I want you to understand, my friend, that that is where you are being tested and tried. And if you're not careful, you're failing a whole lot worse than you could have ever imagined because maybe you never thought about it that way. Listen, don't be a pretender. Amen. Don't be a pretender. Don't come to church acting like as if you were all that. Amen. And you're mean as snake at home and hard to get along with at work and always running your mouth about things that you shouldn't be talking about. Don't be a pretender. Don't act like you're all that when you know you're not. They call it hypocrisy in the Bible. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody. We need to quit. We just need to stop. Young people, listen, be who you are. Be a Christian. I love hearing you sing. Amen. Then live out those words at school. Live them out on your job. Live them out at home. Don't sing one thing here and do something else there. I'm trying to help you. You ought to be consistent. Amen. You ought to be consistent. Listen, I guarantee you, if you come to my home over in South Holland, Illinois, or wherever you find me, I guarantee you'll find me about the same. I'm always pretty much the same, pretty much even keel. Even to the tune that if I need to, I'll tell you how high you can jump. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, if you're talking nonsense and so forth and I can't reason with you, whatever, I will excuse myself in a minute. I don't mind hurting your feelings if I have to. By the way, the Bible does it. I read some things in the Bible that's hard to swallow. Hey, man. Sometimes I'm like, well, God, you talking to me? The Bible says, take heed. Amen. Take heed. Over and over in the Bible, take heed that you be not overcharged with much surfeiting. Put that chicken down. Amen. Oh, and I love chicken. I love chicken. By the way, our God is an awesome God. The storm did come that ordinary day, suddenly. Notice verse 23b and c and d. The Bible says in verse 23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And what I think? I think that one of the main problems here was they looked kind of like easy sailing, smooth sailing. The Bible says there came down a storm of wind. Notice there was no rain involved here. A storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Storms are very real, people. Let's be faithful in the midst of them as a testimony of our faith. Let us learn to go through our storms instead of always wanting God to calm them. Let's go through them. I used to always pray that God would calm the storm. I used to always pray that God would calm my storms. Well, I finally learned to quit praying that prayer. God, have your way. Let's learn to go through our storms. Many of us are in the midst of storms right now. Keep roaring. Amen? Keep roaring, my friend, it'll pass. Please, let's remember to pray for one another. The Bible says here, as they sail. Amen. I believe that this is where the real problem took place. They were enjoying smooth sailing. We enjoy a lot of smooth sailing, don't we, folks? We do, don't we? I can just picture it now. The water was pretty much calm, and they were just sailing along, and you could hear the waves kind of sloshing along the sides of the boat. And somebody might have even been dragging a net, amen, doing a little fishing as they sailed along. And all of a sudden, they were just enjoying the ride, not thinking about much of anything else. Again, notice that Jesus fell asleep. Amen? Jesus went to sleep. And I believe that this speaks of two things. I believe that this speaks of his humanity. He was 100% man. Amen? But perhaps, and by the way, I also think it speaks of God's presence. I don't think that we always feel like we're in the presence of God, do we, Pastor? You know, sometimes you feel like he's closer than at other times, but he's always near. You see, God's presence doesn't have anything to do with a warm, fuzzy feeling. He promised, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. He fell asleep. Oh, my. God, amen. God is with us at all times in the midst of our storms. Amen. When our storms toss us to and fro. Listen, God was with Joseph in the midst of his storm. God was with Paul in the midst of his storm. God was with Daniel and the Hebrew boys. They sang about that tonight. And God is with you and I, my friend. He's with us just like he was with them. Fourthly, notice, your faith should show up in the storm. God requires it. Your faith should show up in the midst of your storm. Whatever God allows to come your way, your faith in him should show up. He said unto them, notice verse number 25. He said unto them, where is your faith? I believe that question is still on the table. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Is your faith in your retirement? Is your faith in your husband, in your wife, in your home, maybe in the garage? I don't know. Where is it? Or is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? They being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Notice in verse number 24, they were in turmoil. They were selfish. They were not willing to ride the storm out. They had not trusted in the word of God. You see, Jesus wanted to see the evidence of their faith. When our faith shows up, God does the supernatural. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 8:22. The Bible said, and those red words in verse 22 is, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Jesus said nothing about going to the bottom. He said nothing about going to the middle of the lake. He said nothing about the fact that it would be one smooth ride. They forgot all about that when the storm came. How many of you today, including myself, would be willing to admit that you've forgotten the word of God in the midst of some storms? I have. I believe that if just one of those men had remembered what the Lord said, I believe it would have made all the difference in the world out there on the lake that day. Listen, when our faith show up, we forgive instead of carrying grudges. Amen? Our faith should show up in the midst of a storm, in the midst of an argument, in the midst of a battle, in the middle of a disagreement. Your faith should show up. When our faith shows up, the world can see Jesus Christ living in us. When our faith shows up, we remember that vengeance belongs to God. When our faith shows up, it's all right to be talked about, lied on, and cheated. When our faith shows up, amen, God is glorified. When our faith shows up, offerings increase. When our faith shows up, you get the peace that passes all understanding. When our faith shows up, we find ourselves reading the word of God. When our faith shows up, revival breaks out. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. They forgot that they were on the ship of Zion, not the Titanic, my friend. They forgot that they were not sailing on the old Titanic. Amen. You've heard the song. I know you can play it, Pastor, on your guitar, "The Old Ship of Zion." Amen. They were sailing on the old ship of Zion. My friend, if you're saved tonight, I want you to know you're on the old ship of Zion. You're not on the Titanic. By the way, you know they said the Titanic couldn't sink. Well, it sunk. Amen. But let me tell you something. The ship of Zion cannot, will not, and will never sink. Jesus does not load his folks on the Titanic. Oh, I tell you, I know it's time for me to finish. It's been so fun preaching to you. Are you trusting God every day? Are you doing your spiritual exercises? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? I want you to know that's what this revival is all about. It's about getting you excited about God's word. Excited enough to live for him and go tell someone else. That's what this is all about. That's not complicated. That's what this is all about, is to get you excited, revived, and go out and win the lost for Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, amen, we want you to know you can be saved tonight by simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We don't want you to walk out of here tonight without knowing that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Most of you already know that prior to my salvation, I disobeyed good parents and was addicted to all kinds of drugs, and finally heroin, which is probably one of the most sinister drugs in the world. And I want you to know that God delivered me from heroin. I was using a needle several times a day, and I was a mess. I didn't think there was any hope for me, but God saved my wretched soul. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, but I want you to know God is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. And I want you to know God will change your life for the better. Amen. I never knew the real meaning of life until I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a minute.